Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
We're going to continue talking about sunken ships today, especially this company from America. It's a private company called Odyssey Marine Exploration. And they're looking for sunken ships. And, of course, they want to cash in if they find treasure and stuff like that. But that's going to bring about all sorts of legal battles.
That's right. If you find stuff that's valuable, people are going to fight over it to see who it belongs to. We learned that some of the things that this firm has found include some Civil War ships, some colonial era ships, and of course one of the most exciting things about their finds have been the gold coins, the silver coins, the money.
Sure.
Because everybody wants to find money that they didn't have to work for. Don't we all want to hit the jackpot and get free cash?
We certainly do. And today we're going to continue talking about the possibility of hitting the jackpot if you find sunken treasure at the bottom of the deep blue sea. So let's get to it, everybody. Let's talk some more about this company and what they do. Let's read through the entire content of today's lesson right now. Nothing lasts forever, and large ships are no exception to this rule. Even the mightiest of ships will eventually sink or fall into disrepair. Some of the most dramatic shipwrecks have come at the hands of naval battles or terrible natural disasters. In 2007, Odyssey was exploring off the southern coast of Portugal when it found a vessel containing 17 tons of silver and gold, mostly in the form of coins. Researchers used the ship's sinking location and some related historical documents to conclude that the ship is the mighty Spanish frigate Nuestra Señora de las Mercedes, which sank on October 5, 1804. The frigate, which was transporting treasure back to Spain from South America, exploded in a battle with British naval forces, killing 200 people on board. Odyssey has also been working to find the remains of another shipwreck, the British ship HMS Sussex, which sank in 1693. This powerful warship was built as Britain and other nations were trying to stop France from expanding its territory. Both Britain and France tried to bribe the Duke of Savoy to become their ally, and researchers believe the HMS Sussex was transporting money to him. But as the ship sailed into the Mediterranean Sea, a severe storm hit. The Sussex sank, and all but two of the more than 600 crew on board died in the incident. Along with the victims sank the equivalent of about $1 billion in coins. These great shipwrecks stand as reminders that no matter how great our most massive creations may seem, even they can be fragile.
Okay, everybody, let's get started. Here in the first sentence is this, nothing lasts forever. Well, that's true. But sometimes when you see these very powerfully built, very strongly built ships, you think, no, those actually should last kind of a long time. But they're no exception to this rule. If you talk about an exception to the rule, it means what you're talking about is a little different from the other things that you're including in the group. Somehow they're not included. I could say, oh, I like Stephen King's books with one exception. I like all of them except one. So ships are no exception to this rule. It means they don't last forever either. Everything has to go at some point.
Yes, they are. Well, there is no exception. Everything eventually decays and goes down the toilet eventually. And even the mightiest of ships will eventually sink or fall into disrepair. So mighty just means very, very strong. A mighty person, for example. But here's the superlative, the mightiest. Mighty, mightier, the mightiest. So even the mightiest of ships will eventually sink or fall into disrepair. So I'm not sure what it's called. What is it? The USS Enterprise or one of the aircraft carriers of the U.S. Navy. They're huge, they're expansive, they're mighty, they're powerful. But even that ship, the Eisenhower class, is that what it is? Even those will eventually sink or they will fall into disrepair. Disrepair here means something is broken down, it no longer works well, and we often use this phrase to fall into disrepair. Like a house, for example, if it's not maintained properly, it will eventually fall into disrepair.
Or if you continually drive your car around and you don't take good care of it, you don't put oil in it when you need to, and you don't keep it clean, or you just don't take very good care of it after years of neglect, your car will also fall into disrepair. You might have some problems on your hand. And as Tom said, when you see this word disrepair, you'll often see the verb phrase fall into disrepair. It's often used together. Those are just sort of a pattern. Now, some of the most dramatic shipwrecks have come at the hands of naval battles or terrible natural disasters. If something's dramatic, it usually attracts a lot of attention. It's kind of a big deal. So these were dramatic shipwrecks that a lot of people knew about because of the big story surrounding it. At the hands of just means that something happened by or through the actions of someone. For example, I could say, oh, these dogs were treated badly at the hands of their owner. Their owner was responsible for treating the dogs poorly. So at the hands of just means that it happened because or due to somebody or something.
Indeed. So these shipwrecks oftentimes happen because of naval battles or also because of terrible natural disasters, hurricanes or typhoons. I don't suppose a ship could sink if there was an earthquake. Would there? Would it be possible?
I don't know.
Can you feel an earthquake if you're on a ship of the ocean?
Well, if there's an earthquake, you know you have tsunamis that follow.
Oh, true, yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
It could be sunk by a huge wave that followed after the earthquake.
It could happen,
yeah.
Indeed. So those are examples of natural disasters. I just mentioned a few examples there.
Mm-hmm.
A typhoon or a hurricane or an earthquake, a tornado, a great storm. Those are all natural disasters.
A forest fire that starts because lightning struck a tree.
It could happen, indeed. Let's go back about 6 years here to 2007. Odyssey was exploring off the southern coast of Portugal, which would be in the Atlantic Ocean there. And Odyssey found a vessel containing 17 tons of silver and gold, mostly in the form of coins. Oh, boy. So they found a sunken ship there. They found a vessel. And inside that vessel was a lot of precious metal here, 17 tons of silver and gold. Oh, boy, could that help out your retirement account.
Wow, not one ton, Tom. 17 tons. That's
a lot.
Well, researchers then used the ship's sinking location. They checked out on the map and said, well, this is where it sank. And then they tried to go back and look through historical documents to figure out what ship it could possibly be. There wasn't a name on the ship anywhere. Ships don't usually have, like, driver's licenses or IDs on them. So they were trying to find out what ship this could have been based on where it sank. Now, a document is just an official piece of paper that gives information about something. They're looking at documents from history and doing a lot of research that way to see if they could find out what ship this was that they had found.
Right. So, of course, here it's a Spanish frigate. A frigate is kind of like a warship. And its name, of course, is in Spanish, Nuestra Señora de las Mercedes, which means Our Lady of the Favors. Or benefits. Mercedes there means favors or benefits in Spanish. And that ship sank in 1804 on October 5th. And this frigate was transporting treasure back to Spain from South America, and it exploded in a battle with British naval forces, which killed 200 people on board. So it had gone over to South America, you know, Venezuela, mm-hmm. Colombia, Chile, Brazil, or whatever, and they were coming back to Spain, with all sorts of treasure that they found there in South America. Transporting here is from the verb to transport, which means to move something from one place to another. Usually it's things and not people, but it can be people as well. But when I see transport, I think of things moving as opposed to people.
Well, except that in British English, they like to use transport to talk about people, too. What kind of transport will you take? They use it a little differently than we do. We tend to use transportation. What transportation will you be using to get to work, Tom?
Bicycle, hopefully, if it's
bicycle,
not raining.
Bicycle, yeah.
Good exercise.
MRT, bike, you know, whatever bus. You use, it's how you get from one place to another. We use transportation also to talk about what we use to actually send items, products, things that we've made to other countries, as Tom mentioned, while the frigate was transporting treasure back to Spain. So they had found some cool things in South America, and they were using this particular boat to get the treasure back to the homeland. Spain had a lot of power back then, and they were going to countries and sort of taking what they wanted from the poor South Americans back then.
But the British were busy there, too.
Yeah.
Of course, they have their ships out there. And they saw them coming back, and the British said, hey, good Lord there. There's lots of treasure on that ship there, so let's sink it. Let's take it for ourselves. So that's what they did. They got into a battle with that ship, and the ship exploded and sank as a result, and 200 people were killed heading to the bottom of the sea. So they took all their silver and gold coins down there, as well as some of their sangria wine.
I don't know if they had wine like that back then. If you're on board something, it means you are on either a ship or a plane or a train. So, and sadly enough, these people lost their lives on board a ship. I just wouldn't want to have my final resting place be a ship at the bottom of the sea.
Exactly. That's not where I want my body to end up. But
no.
Come to think of it, I don't really know where I want my body to end up after I die. I guess I'll have to think about that. But in any case, that's another question for another day. We'll continue talking about this company looking for sunken ships in just a second. But right now, we'd like to take a break and listen to our Chinese teacher.
Hello, 大家好, I'm Tim. 今天我们要继续跟大家讨论昨天的课程, 也就是关于沉船的故事。 首先看到第一段的第一句, Nothing lasts forever, and large ships are no exception to this rule. 没有事情是永恒不变的, 这些大船也不例外。 这里我们看到一个名词, exception, 就代表例外。 例如, The teacher said all students who are late will be punished, without exception. 老师说所有迟到的学生都会被处罚, 没有例外。 Exception 常常会出现在一个句子中, 那就是 There is no exception, 就代表没有例外。 而 except, E-X-C-E-P-T, 就代表除了什么什么之外的意思, 通常会在后面加上名词或者动名词。 例如, Nobody was able to complete the challenge on time, except Frank, 就代表没有人可以及时完成这个挑战, 除了Frank之外。 接着看到第一段的第三句, Some of the most dramatic shipwrecks have come at the hands of naval battles or terrible natural disasters. 某些引人注目的船难，肇因于海上战争或者是残酷的天灾。 这里我们看到个形容词, dramatic, 就代表引人注目的,戏剧化的。 它的名词就是drama, D-R-A-M-A, 就代表戏剧的意思。 接着看到这一段的最后一句, The frigate, which was transporting treasure back to Spain from South America, exploded in a battle with British naval forces, killing 200 people on board. 这艘驱逐舰当时载着宝物由南美返回西班牙,却因为和英国海军交战时爆炸, 船上200人因而罹难。 这边看个动词, transport, 就代表运送, 运输的意思。 All of the factory's products are transported overseas, by either ship or plane. 这间工厂的所有产品皆是由海运或者空运运送至国外。 这个字的名词就是transportation, 就代表运输或者运输工具的意思。 例如, Taipei's MRT is one of the cleanest transportation systems in the world. 台北捷运是全球最干净的大众运输系统之一。后面看到个片语 on board 就代表在船上、在飞机上的意思。例如 ,The captain announced that everyone on board should return to their seats. 机上广播要求机上所有人回到自己的座位。
We're going to take a short break. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Okay, let's resume our lesson here. Again, we're talking about this American private company Odyssey Marine Exploration. And we're talking about Odyssey as the company here, not the name of the ship here. Odyssey was actually, I think, the name of the ship that Jacques Cousteau sailed the ocean to do ocean exploration. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. He was a very famous French sailor who was exploring the ocean in the Odyssey.
Yeah, there was a famous movie called 10,000 Leagues Under the Sea. That was about Jacques Cousteau.
Oh, it was. Okay, yes. I didn't know that. But in any case, we're talking about Odyssey, this company. And this company has also been working to find the remains of another shipwreck, the British ship HMS Sussex. Okay, remains means something that is left over after a disaster. You could talk about that in terms of someone's body. The remains were buried in Oak Hill Cemetery, for example. His remains were his body. But this is a shipwreck, so what's left over from the shipwreck? The remains of the shipwreck. I could say the remains of Titanic are still at the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean.
Right. Well, this powerful warship was built as Britain and other nations were trying to stop France from expanding its territory. Oh, yeah. You know, it's pretty much Britain and France and Spain later on that became very powerful, and they were all trying to take control of the world. Back then, America had not been born yet. So they were always trying to fight each other, and of course, using the sea was a place for wars to take place. So they built this warship. So it was pretty impressive, I guess, back then for 1693. And if you try to expand something, you make it bigger. You might want to expand its size or its range or amount. And your territory is just an area of land that belongs to or is controlled by a government territory. They want to expand its territory. Well, both Britain and France tried to bribe the Duke of Savoy to become their ally. And researchers believe that HMS Sussex was transporting money to him. Aha!
Ooh, okay. Savoy is a region of France there. I think it's in the southeastern or southeastern part of France. So I guess in order to get there, you need to be coming from the Mediterranean Sea close to Italy there. If you bribe somebody, you offer them some kind of money or favors, especially somebody in the government, to help you with a law that maybe is inconvenient for you. For example, if you want to build a casino or something like that, and it's illegal, but you still want the casino, so maybe you're going to bribe the government officials. Here, I'll give you some money under the table, and you can let us build that casino.
You can use bribe, too, as just sort of a fun way to joke about doing a favor for someone. For example, I needed help moving the other day, and I said to my brother, hey, if you'll come help me move, you know, I'll treat you to dinner. I'll give you free dinner. It's kind of a bribe.
Are you trying to bribe me?
Yeah, you're trying to bribe me? Well, yeah, of course. So if you need a big favor from a friend, try bribing them by offering something great if they help you out.
Right, so they wanted to bribe this French guy so that they could become friends or an ally here. An ally is just somebody who's on the same side as you are, especially if you're a country fighting against other countries. Like, for example, France and England were allies during World War II against Germany, and Germany and Japan were allies in that same war.
Yeah, they were helping each other. Well, the researchers who found this out believe that the HMS Sussex was transporting money to this Duke of Savoy. Now, of course, if you're going to bribe somebody, the best and most direct way to do that is not to offer them dinner, but to offer them money. And that's what they think the money on board the ship was for. It was a bribe.
Right, so they wanted to stop France from expanding its territory as a result of that bribe. I guess France wanted to force people to eat cheese and drink wine and eat those rich, saucy foods.
Croissant? And
stuff. Yeah, eat those croissants and stuff like that. So they wanted to stop that, which I don't blame them for doing. And, well, they believe that the HMS Sussex was transporting money to the Duke of Savoy. But the ship sailed into the Mediterranean Sea, and when it did so, or as it sailed into the Mediterranean Sea, a severe storm hit.
Uh-oh.
So I guess they were sailing from Britain into, let's see, you have to go past Gibraltar there, into the Mediterranean Sea, and then a severe storm hit. Mediterranean Sea, that's the body of water that's south of Europe. It goes around Italy, and it's to the south of France and to the east of Spain and north of, Tunisia,
Africa,
and Libya, and all those countries in Africa.
We'll often just call it the Mediterranean.
Sure, for short. And this is a severe storm that hit. Severe means very, very strong. Not just a regular little storm, but it was a big storm enough to cause some major damage.
Mm-hmm. Well, unfortunately, the Sussex sank. Not many of these ships can withstand a severe storm, even today. It's very dangerous to be on the seas if a big storm hits. And all but two of the crew aboard died in the incident. They had a 600 crew, member crew, I should say 600 member crew on board. A crew is a group of people who work together to operate a ship or an airplane or a train. They're called the crew. It's non-count. So if you want to talk about one person who works on a crew, you say one member of the crew.
Right, that's one of those collective nouns here, so don't put an S on this. Crew of 600, one of the crew, other words are staff, audience, family, etc. So 600 crew members died in the incident. Only two of them survived, and along with the victims sank the equivalent of about $1 billion in coins. So that's the equivalent. Equivalent here means something equal in value. No, it wasn't $1 billion that sank, but something that was worth that amount of money.
Mm-hmm. An incident. Well, it's something usually that's unexpected and it's kind of unpleasant. Something that happens. For example, I could say, hey, Tom, did you see that incident in the paper yesterday? Where it talked about two people getting robbed.
I read about that. Yeah, it's pretty terrible. You gotta be careful these days or, robbers might come up to you and steal stuff from you. Incident also refers to historical things that happen, especially when something bad happens. You know, the incident in Kaohsiung at the end of the 70s, which kind of brought about democratic change, and there are different incidences that happened in different places in various parts of the world. I don't want to mention them because they might be controversial to even mention them here, but again, these are incidents, and along with the victims sank the equivalent of all those coins, which supposedly are still at the bottom of the Mediterranean Sea. Well, these great shipwrecks stand as reminders that no matter how great our most massive creations may seem, even they can be fragile or fragile, however you want to pronounce this word. So these shipwrecks stand as reminders. To stand as something just means they are these things, they represent these things. They're there because they are reminders. A reminder is something that helps you remember something. Hey, give me a reminder. I need to go to the bank this afternoon. If I don't, then my account will be closed and I'll be in big trouble.
Oh, no. Well, when you talk about something that's massive, it's very, 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 very big, very large. Could also be heavy, but here we're talking about both. These ships are huge. They're massive creations. And to us, they seem like they're unsinkable. Of course, nothing is unsinkable, actually. We found that out. That even big things like this that are that massive can be fragile. Fragile means easily broken and damaged. If you have glasses or glassware or pots, if you let them fall, they're going to break because they're fragile.
Fragile, right. That's the American pronunciation. You'll probably hear Canadians and British people saying fragile. But in the USA, we say fragile. So yes, these ships are still very fragile, even though they're massive and indestructible and unsinkable.
Yeah.
They'll still someday end up at the bottom of the sea or being torn apart in some shipyard in Bangladesh or someplace like that. Okay, that brings us to the end of our lesson, everybody. It's time now to listen once again to our Chinese teacher.
好，我们接着看到第二段的第二句。This powerful warship was built as Britain and other nations were trying to stop France from expanding its territory. 塞萨克斯号的建造是由于英国与其他国家试图阻止法国扩张领土。这里我们看到个动词 expand， 就代表扩张、扩大的意思。My father is thinking of expanding his business， 就代表我爸爸考虑扩张他的事业。这时后面看到个名词 territory， 就代表领土。例如 ，Guam is part of the territory of the U.S.， 就代表关岛是美国的领土之一。接着我们看到第二段的第四句 ，But as the ship sailed into the Mediterranean Sea, a severe storm hit。不过当这艘船航行到地中海的时候，却被一场剧烈的暴风雨袭击。这里我们看到一个字 ，Mediterranean Sea， 就代表地中海的意思。我们也可以直接讲说 Mediterranean。这边要注意的是，由于这个字是专有名词，所以 M 要大写。接着看不到后面一个生字 severe， 这个字代表天气相当严峻的。例如 ，The cruise ship survived the severe weather， 就代表这艘轮船度过了严峻的天气。而这个字我们可以用来形容人，就代表严格的、严肃的。例如。My father always talks in a severe voice， 就代表我爸爸总是用很严肃的口气讲话。接着看到第二段的倒数第三句 ，The Sussex sank， and all but two of the more than 600 crew on board died in the incident。塞萨克斯号因而沉没，船上除了两人之外，其他超过600名的船员全都于此次意外中身亡。这里看到一个名词 incident， 就代表意外，例如。The police said the kidnapping was an isolated incident. 警方表示这起绑架案为单一事件。接着看到这段的倒数第二句。Along with the victims, sank the equivalent of about $1 billion in coins. 连同罹难者一同沉入大海的还有价值等同约10亿美金的钱币。Equivalent 这个名词就代表等值的事物，例如The big cup is the equivalent of 3 small ones. 这个大杯子的容量等同于三个小杯子。而这个字给当作形容词用，代表相等的、等值的意思。例如 ,The dance class is equivalent to walking 3 kilometers. 这堂舞蹈课的运动量等同于走了三公里的路。
Okay, that brings us to the end of our lesson, everybody. Thanks for joining us, and make sure you join us again next time. For English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.